Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. We have returned. My name's Matthew. I'm here with Robert in a very special venue, Robert. This is where it all began with us, isn't it? The college where we commenced our studies and met each other. What would it be? 6 years ago now?
Coming up for, yep, September 2010.
Yeah, and circumstances as they are have brought us together in this temple of learning and we commune for an episode of the Audio Drama Production Podcast. And on the agenda this week, I say this week, we're not really weekly at the moment, on the agenda this episode, we're talking about episode lengths. We have an interview in the second part of this episode. That's with Brian Price and Jerry Stearns of Great Northern Audio Theatre. So they're two veterans in the audio drama world and they've done a lot of work over the years. They've got a lot to say on the subject and one of their latest productions as well, In the Embers, which was a fantastic piece that I listened to recently. That ran for 90 minutes and we talked a bit about feature length audio dramas, and it got Robert and I thinking about episode lengths because this is something that's come up in the past. People have often asked us, what length should my audio drama be? And in the past, Robert, do you think we might have given a different answer to the one we're given today? Are we given an answer of a length that we think an audio drama should be?
Yeah, no, definitely. In the past, we've always been a bit kind of, well, there's no right answer, no wrong answer. I mean, you could do this, you could do that. We did have the argument to put forward, if we wanted to, that you should maybe go for shorter episodes of about 20 minutes based on people commuting. I would say we're probably leaning more towards that. I also think it depends on the production. Like, if it's a big, long series and lots of different things happening, you probably want to put it into bite size. If it is 90 minutes or 60 minutes and that's it done, then you can consider making it an hour long and that's it as well. Personally, I don't think any drama should go longer than 45 minutes. I think you should split it if you can, if it's any more than that.
It's curious that with, because feature length, if we're talking an audio drama that is an hour or an hour and a half or maybe even longer, why is it that this is such an acceptable and popular length for a film, but we don't see a lot of audio dramas at this length? Do you think it's just because people maybe feel more inclined to split them up? Do you think it's a listener perspective that maybe there must be few people who are in the position to listen for a period of time without stopping in between?
Yeah, I mean, back in the old days, yeah, people would definitely sit for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever. I think they're less likely to do that nowadays. You know, I can't watch a film for 3 hours without picking my mobile up at least once, or even stopping it to go off and go to the bathroom or whatever. You need that break, you know? I think nowadays it's a lot harder to keep someone's attention, and that's when they're using their eyes, which are the most engaging sense when it comes to taking on entertainment, I guess. For an audio drama, for someone that's listening, I'd say you've got less chance of holding on to them. You've got to work harder to keep them. You'll sit and watch, maybe not you particularly, I know you have an aversion to TV in most forms, but most people, a lot of people will sit, and as long as it's vaguely entertaining, they'll sit and they'll just keep watching it, or maybe they'll flick channels, whatever. Audio drama, if it's not any good, it's not engaging them, they'll turn off very easily. So for that reason alone, I would say make it bite-sized, make it a lot more, you know, give them something fast and punchy and then give them a break.
It's interesting how your circumstances change, because my old job, I was consciously looking for as much content as I could to fill the day because I had a lot of time to listen to stuff. So
yeah,
I was excited to see longer episodes. And I remember thinking back to the early days of Aftermath when our first few episodes, and it's not a great example because it's not like we were pumping these things out every other week, you know, it was more like every 6 months. But thinking to ourselves, oh, we've put out a 14 or 15 minute episode, and maybe when we get a bit better at this, we could build up to doing a half hour episode, and maybe one day in the future, we'll be able to do an hour long episode.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to someone a while back who just started listening to Aftermath, and they said one of the things that they enjoyed was just the short episodes because their listening time was very limited. And interestingly, again, like relating to myself, I do find myself looking for little short things that I could listen to. Maybe I'm going to wash the dishes or just quickly do a task around the house, and I've got 10-15 minutes. So Robert, I know that you have been listening to Rick Cost's The Behemoth, which I listened to a few of them and really enjoyed. So that's a great example. It's a nice short series with regular episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not many as short as that. But I found it to be quite refreshing. Because it's heavy narration, you don't want narration for too long, otherwise it just becomes, for me personally, almost monotonous. You fade out. I struggle with audiobooks for that reason. I think that's more me than audiobooks. I know a lot of people love them. But I really enjoyed The Behemoth. It was a really good, engaging story. I'm only 8 episodes in. I think the ninth one came out this week. Nice and short and snappy. And I listened to all 8 on the way home, because they were only 5 minutes apiece. Because I've got an hour's drive at the moment as well. That's one end of the spectrum, and there's a lot of pluses for it for very, very short, snappy stuff. I don't think that would work for everything. Not like a full cast audio drama where there's no narration and it's huge and it's descriptive and you've got to get all the sound in there and the dialogue, a full conversation here and there. 5 minutes is not going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But for something like this, it's the perfect type of storytelling technique, and 5 minutes an episode is just enough. Another one that was quite short, 10 minutes per episode, was Pen and Paper by our old pal E.C. Bond. There wasn't any narration, but it was short. And the type of story it worked perfectly. It was just a couple of conversations here. You know, the chap and his mum, the chap and his school teacher, then the chap and his fellow role players. It was perfect. 10 minutes. I remember thinking it's actually quite short. But the reason I thought it was short was because I was getting into it.
Yeah, and that's how you know you've succeeded as a writer, because even if you've put something out there that's huge, you're wanting your listener to be left wanting more.
Yeah.
I listened to one the other night. Again, I'm looking for short stuff. Like I say, I've got 10 minutes to do something. So it was Adam Ramonda's Breadcrumbs Mag podcast. So they've put out a couple of things so far, and this was just a wee self-contained, I think it was 10 or 11 minutes, just hit the spot, you know, just a humorous short story, because that was the other thing I was thinking, is it relevant to think about an ongoing serial story or a short story? Like, would a short episode be more suited to a short story, or vice versa?
Maybe as a one-off then. I mean, if the whole story can be told in 20 minutes, then instead of doing 2 10-minute episodes, just get it done, you know? And it depends on the type of, the way it's being told, the story. Like, the BBC do a lot of dramas that are 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or even, like, a week long of half an hour at a time. Occasionally, they'll do the 15-minute drama, and they get it wrapped up there and then. So that's a good thing to consider, you know, how long does your story need to be?
And I suppose another thing to consider, especially, well, not even if you're doing an ongoing story. If you're running a podcast, an audio drama series, you do want to ideally be putting out regular content, and not doing a 1.5-hour epic every month is going to help you stick to that schedule, isn't it? Especially if you're going really short, like Rick did.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to stop saying this eventually, but again, it depends on the story you're telling. The one thing I felt about the Black Tapes podcast, which I really do enjoy, is that I felt like there was a lot of filler after a while, and I felt it could have been more concise and we could have got to the point a lot quicker. And that seemed to go on and on and on. And, you know, I don't know if you really needed to say it's the Black Tapes podcast 8 times in one episode, but it is. It's the Black Tapes podcast.
I think that's something like that, not to go off on a tangent, it's a bit of a hangover from radio.
Yeah, definitely.
I think this is something that we still hear sometimes in podcasts, and particularly from podcasters who were radio presenters, where halfway through they'll remind you the show you're listening to and you're like, well, it just so happens I know what show I'm listening to.
Because I didn't tune in halfway through, because it's a podcast. I started at the beginning because I have that power. Welcome to podcasting.
So again, maybe the Black Tapes, in their defence, it is because they're pretending to be a sort of radio documentary.
Yeah, and also it's brand recognition and reinforcing the title so that you won't forget. I certainly won't. And that's fine. It's effective, but it's annoying as well.
Here's the thing then, is Dune, because if we're going to assume that doing shorter episodes enables us to do more regular episodes, is it necessarily less work to be putting out shorter, more regular episodes? And my point here is that, is the bulk of the time it takes to do an episode actually in the physical production of it? So my thoughts here are that, and again, to go back to podcasting itself, there are shows out there, there's a very famous podcast that puts an episode out every single day, and the podcaster, John Lee Dumas, only records, it's an interview show, he records 7 interviews on a Tuesday, I believe. And he records his intros and outros, you know, with the interviewee. And so he's actually working one day a week, but he has his content for 7 days a week. So let's say, just for the sake of an example, that you and I wanted to do a short audio drama that we were going to release once a week. In theory, we could get together every 2 months and record everything and produce everything, and then, you know, it's called batching, really. You're doing all the work at once, and then you could kind of chop it up. Because I think if you were getting together every week to record a short episode, and then you were producing it all in that would be a real treadmill. Like, it definitely wouldn't be less work. So,
no, definitely
I suppose
not.
Like anything else, it's in the planning and organisation, isn't it?
Yeah, and as long as you've got that time to sit down and do all the recording, which could be, well, it could be several hours, couldn't it? In terms of getting it all done in that one day a month, as long as you've got the time to do that, and as long as you don't bite off too much more than you can chew, and you've got to do all this work, I think if you can manage your workload okay, then that would be effective, rather than meeting every single week to record lines and stuff, and then you're setting up equipment 4 times more often than you would be than setting it up on one day a month, you know?
Yeah, because I'm actually writing just a few short episodes just now. So we did an audio drama a few years ago. It was called Why Cat and Doug Don't Get Along. So it was a sort of comedy set in Scotland that was a bit vulgar. And I found that on reflection, because I was writing a few short stories that I just wasn't really getting into. And I found that I really enjoyed writing that. It just came really natural to me, even though it's by far the sort of thing that's going to get any sort of mass appeal because it's very niche. So I thought, like, whilst we work on, you know, our main project, which is Valenhigh, I thought I'm just going to start writing these very short episodes, which is a follow-up to Cat and Doug. So it's basically the two characters in there that we could play, and that simplifies it. So it's not a project that's designed to be mind-blowing in its production or anything like that. I just wanted to be writing something and maybe getting something out. Yeah. So I know there's the old write-to-content argument, but I'm deliberately kind of holding these scripts at about 8 pages. So deliberately trying to get a natural ending for the story to keep it ticking over.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, I mean, if we took a 20, 30 page episode that we'd written, you couldn't necessarily cut that up into 5 pages because you would be cutting in the middle of scenes and stuff. It would get a bit silly deliberately trying to create those cliffhangers.
They say write to content, but film and movie and even books to some extent or plays, they know they've got to be a certain length. Like a TV series like Breaking Bad, each episode has got to be exactly, let's say, 45 minutes long and end on something that's interesting enough to keep you coming back next week. And it's got to be exactly 12 episodes a season or whatever it is, or 15, you know? So they're playing by those rules. There's no reason why you can't deliberately write your content to 8 pages or so. So you're not necessarily compromising anything by sticking to rough guidelines like that at all.
And let's not forget that there is a benefit in putting a time limit on yourself or having a time limit enforced on yourself, because it's not always a bad thing being forced to cut stuff. If you're given a free rein where someone says, no, you do a 4-hour show, and it just sprawls on and on. If somebody says, no, I need you to take those 4 hours and make it 30 minutes, you're going to have to think very carefully about what you cut.
Yeah.
And your story could become better for it. I'm not saying be, well, maybe I am saying be brutal. I'll leave that up to individual writers, but you know, sometimes a bit of brutality when you're cutting stuff doesn't hurt, unless it's the health service, but that's a completely different topic.
Well, that was one of the things we learned right here in this very building, the college. When you remember, we had to take a 5-minute news piece about Barack Obama, and we had to cut it down to 60 seconds, 30 seconds, and 10 seconds. It's like, that's impossible. Where would you begin? And we had to get rid of so much. But it taught us that you can, if you're forced to, be that brutal, and what you've got left, in theory, is gold.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had him at the end of that edit. He was literally just saying hello.
Yeah. But, hello, yeah, the American people.
It was a good edit.
And then that was it. Goodbye. One other thing I wanted to say about episode lengths was to do with a podcast called Greater Boston.
Few podcasts in that area now, isn't there?
Yeah, in the New England area, yeah. Alexander Danner brought it to my attention because he's the head honcho there from what I can tell. Really good podcast. I guess you could call it a drama. It's really eclectic. Really, really mad. All these different tales from different people in the area that occasionally seem to join together. Really interesting. I didn't know what to make of it at first, but I was like, I don't know what's going on here. You know, who is this? Am I going to see them again? Where have they gone? Why? Who's this person now talking in their bathroom? It was all really interesting. The point is that the episode went on for quite a while. I think it was, I could be wrong, about 45 minutes in length or something. But the argument for having a longer episode is if you've got content that's utterly compelling and moves from one thing to the other, you know, and it keeps you going, then fine, do it. I don't know if I came across quite well enough there to convince people that I enjoyed the podcast, but I did. But it was so wild and mad that it had me scratching my head thinking, my goodness, what is this all about? Like a collection of stories. It's almost like an anthology. So something like that, yeah, you could have a longer episode length. You may want to break it up with stingers or stuff just to give the listener time to absorb what they've taken on board, because I'm sure there's stuff I've forgotten instantly because it was so mad and wild. There's this bit where this woman's doing this stand-up piece and she's not particularly funny, but she's really interesting, talking about this mad adventure of how she's famous or about to be famous. It's really wild. Check it out anyway, Greater Boston. It's got longer episode lengths and it's packed with really, really varied stuff. So maybe that's the secret there, is to, as long as you're keeping it lively and keeping it from being monotone, like one person reading, you know, like an audiobook, then that might be the secret there.
Yeah, we'd love to get your opinion. What episode lens do you work with your own show? Have you made changes to that over time? Have you had feedback from your audience that made you do that? Have you just stuck with the episode lens that you've always used? Or do you not care? Do you just write a script and if it's 1,000 pages, then that's what you're recording?
Yeah.
Get in touch. Is that the email address? Audio drama, it is.
Podcast at
audiodramaproduction.com is the email address. Is that because we've been so long since we last recorded?
Possibly.
So we'll press on with the interview just now, and after that we'll just catch up at the end for 5 minutes just to go over a couple of things, and then that'll be us. So this is Brian and Jerry from Great Northern Audio Theatre, and links to their show In the Embers can be found at the show notes as well over at our website, google.com.
Back in 1988, Brian and I both went to a Midwest Radio Theater workshop. Brian had been to several before, and it was my first one. And we met there and just hit it off right away. And we kept meeting each other there for several years. Locally and here in Minneapolis, I got a grant for some studio time back in 1995. So I called Brian and said, I got this grant.
They had an 8-track tape machine. They weren't used. So, not digital.
So I asked him if he wanted to work on something together, and he said, sure. And as our friend David once told us, anytime somebody comes to you and says, I've got a grant, the answer is always yes. So we did a piece called The Tumbleweed Roundup, which is sort of a science fiction mystery Western comedy. And we just kept going from there. Eventually, we started doing live performance for the Mark Time Awards ceremonies. And I think we have 18 stories that are out there now. And at least a dozen of them are all from that live Mark Time radio show performances.
Yeah. I think I didn't realize it at the time because I hadn't read enough Terry Pratchett. Probably know Terry Pratchett's name over there. Is it? We were kind of using his model of we would pick a subject, and sometimes it would be the conventions, the science fiction conventions theme for the year, you know, which would be, you know, like
the bad guys,
aliens in space, or you know, or
the bad guys,
the bad guys, or whatever. And so we'd sort of follow that theme loosely. Really, very loosely, but it would always end up kind of like a Pratchett novel, which was, you know, you just skewer the theme for half hour, 45 minutes. And we got very, very fast and very condensed to be able to do that because we only had a certain amount of time. We had about an hour that was allotted to us or less. And so you had to get on stage, do your play, and get off really quickly. And so,
And we had one read through the night before, and then we had half a rehearsal in the afternoon before we did the live performance.
So how many shows have you guys actually created since you got started with doing this then?
I would say, you know, we've written together probably, I would say, 30 to three dozen, you know, plays and skits together, you know, over a 20-year period or so. Then he and I, you know, that Jerry is written and produced for other people, and I have too. My most furthest out trip was I was hired by a group called Native Americans of the Autry, which is out of California, and they do plays with Native American actors and groups. And so they flew me to Anchorage, Alaska, and I worked there for 2 weeks adapting a stage show to radio. That was really neat. I would like to get a job like that, you know, once a month. And they were working off a Ford Foundation grant, and we were that was the last show of that. But, you know, people like Dirk Maggs had worked with them from BBC, and Bill DeFries of Audio Comics. So it was a really neat opportunity.
You asked how many stories we had done, and between the two of us, the ones that are sort of out there and generally available, there's about 18. And then there's the new one in the embers on top of that.
So how do you guys see the landscape as having changed over the years since you've been involved in audio drama then? What are some of the big changes that you're noticing, especially nowadays?
Well, since we started on it when we were doing that 8-track tape stuff, that was all available on cassette. The next one we did, Permafrost, Minnesota, was the first one we did all digitally, and that was finally available on CD. That was 1998. Of course, it has changed since then because the technology of being able to do it in the first place has become local instead of concentrated in a studio with millions of dollars worth of equipment. It's now in somebody's basement with $400 worth of equipment and all their friends. And the distribution has changed enormously because in our lifetimes, it was never really on the radio. And then it went to cassettes and then to CDs. And finally, it went to all over the internet. I'm pretty sure now that there are more production organizations and more audio drama being produced regularly than there ever were during the golden age of radio drama back between, say, 1932 and 1962. More now available than ever before.
Yeah, so the distribution is a big difference, and it's changed how, because a podcast, you can do an hour, you can do 2 hours, you know, it doesn't matter. Jerry and I were definitely trained on working in radio, which was always really time driven. You know, you had a half hour, and that came down where the next programmer was coming in. live, you know, at the bottom of the hour or whatever. And you know, you had to be off the air. They would cut you off. And so counting seconds and stuff like that was a big deal. And now it's not. It's much more, I think, novelistic, and or in our case with like our latest In the Embers, following more of a independent film kind of, you know, model where you tell the story in, you know, like 90 minutes or, you know, it's a, in our thing, we wanted people to listen to that from one end to the other in one sitting. And the next jump from that is things that like Audible are doing, which are 13 hours long and 17 hours long, you know, just giant long television
miniseries,
you know, miniseries kind of models, you know, where and I think that sort of goes off graphic novel kind of ideas of, they just keep going and going and going. And, you know, I have a hard time with that because I just never, you know, just, I was always an album guy, you know, like David Osman of the Fire Sign Theater was like, yeah, every, you know, 20 minutes aside, you know, and I think that he still thinks, you know, even though it's a CD, the CD ought to have two sides. One side should be 22 minutes and the other side should be 21. you know, and that's the way, you know, rock and roll and all, you know, from the 60s and 70s was, is you had albums. And I think, you know, lots of artists are still having a hard time with, you know, being handed 80 minutes of a CD. It's like, what the hell do I do with the other 20 minutes?
Oh, it's always alternate takes.
Yeah, right.
So you mentioned In the Embers there. That's your latest production. And I had the pleasure of listening to that last week when we were chatting. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm wondering, for anyone that's not heard it yet, if you could just run through a sort of brief synopsis of the story.
Wow, a brief synopsis. We have tried this over and over again, and we always end up leaving something out. It is a digger is an urban archaeologist, and he has been called because somebody found a graveyard and some buildings that were buried in a construction area. And so he has a short time in which to do his archaeological review of the site. And in the process, he finds what was apparently a fire in a building. And he pulls a piece of wood out of that fire and uses a laser to read the grooves in the charcoal on that wood. And he finds voices in there and is able to listen to it and figure out what they were saying during the fire, whenever that was. So he does further research and finds out who the people were that lived there, who might have been involved in the fire. And he puts all this information on his computer. And during a storm, somehow that computer is energized. And one of the voices from that fire recording starts talking to him. That voice is Kit Jeffers, who was a 1920s jazz singer who died way too young. So he ends up having these conversations with Kit, who occasionally sings a song for him on the computer. So we had to come up with original music for her to sing. And then we had to...
Robin Miles, who's a New York actress and an audiobook narrator, was our actress for In the Embers, and she came along with a beautiful singing voice, so it was really neat to use her talents. We never worked with her in person on this particular. I'd worked with her before on live shows, but one of the things about this whole production was it was done all over the country and sometimes done remotely, where most of Robin's lines, she was in New York with an engineer, and we by Skype, Jerry with the other actor in Minneapolis, and I was in Indianapolis directing, and it worked. And so then we used those tracks and the raw recordings and cut them together, edited them together, and you know, made a whole show. And but it was amazing to be able to use technology to, because the show is a lot about technology, and at the same time we were using technology that wasn't available 5 years before, really, to record the show and produce it.
From that point where they're having the conversations on the computer, they start talking about theoretical physics, because Digger's girlfriend is a physicist and she has a paper on his computer. So Kit reads the paper and uses that to figure out that she might be able to travel in time, and then she does it. I don't want to give away the ending, so I'll stop.
Yeah, what was the sort of creative reason behind choosing to do like a feature length? I mean, you had enough story there, presumably, or definitely without a doubt, to do a sort of mini series. Did you just want to tell the story in one sitting?
We wanted to feel like a film. In retrospect, we were probably behind the times, and we should have, you know, done a 7-hour miniseries. I think it would have watered it down, but I think a lot of miniseries are watered down. I think right now there's a tremendous amount of verbiage out in the internet and television and film and books. I listen to lots of audiobooks, and you know, every fantasy series and every, you know, science fiction series and mystery series are, you know, gone from one book to trilogies to triple trilogies and to, you know, and it's just like words. And
we have a number of our stories which sound like the first episode in a continuing series, and certainly could be. But we had no reason to carry it on. We had trouble keeping a cast together.
Yeah, I mentioned David Osman and I were talking about that too with Firesign. I don't know if you're familiar with Firesign Theater, but they were a big influence on us and very much sort of the America's answer to Monty Python, and we're performing at the same in the same era. They were in the 60s and 70s. I said to David that, well, we'd probably been better off if we'd just done Cyber Bob mystery episodes and not done any other characters, just done Cyber Bob, and we'd probably be a lot better off. And he said, yeah, shouldn't have done all those albums. We should have just done the same Nick Danger shows over and over, and they've been a lot better off. But that's our, you know, we were always on to the next idea, on to the next characters.
Brian said before that we're generalists, and that's kind of true in all our lives. We don't settle on one thing. We do that, and wow, that was fun, but let's go on now.
Yeah, I think you did the right thing with it, because, like you say, there is a temptation if you were creating a series to create unnecessary filler, and I thought that the story moved really well. It was concise. And there was no confusion either. It was very, you know, it was always very clear what was going on. And it was a piece that I thoroughly enjoyed. It was very unique in a sense. And the fact that you said that you had this custom music and that, it just gave it a lovely atmosphere. And it was a very poignant piece as well.
Can we quote you on that?
Yeah, if it costs a lot of money to get me transcribed with this accent. But you could try. So just to sort of wrap things up then, what is next for Great Northern? What projects have you got in the pipeline, and where can the listener find you online?
Our website is greatnorthernaudio.com. There's a series of pages there about the Mark Time shows that we've done. There's a page for In the Embers. There's that Sidetracks page I mentioned before that has a lot of free download stuff that we've done over our 30 years in radio.
We're a lot funnier than we sound. Jerry's been broadcasting radio theater, audio theater for since 1979?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so I think Jerry has a worldwide reputation of playing people's new stuff, you know, so being one of the few, you know, especially back in the 90s probably, and back 10 years ago even, being one of the few guys that was going to play, you know, up-and-coming work and amateur work and, you know, work from not, you know, not the usual places. And so he really was doing a service in the dark ages before podcasting. And podcasting has kind of taken over now, where everybody can have a radio station. Everybody does have a radio station. So, you know, everybody can put up their own stuff now. And then it's a fight to see, you know, how you find the, you know, how you get it out there to get the audience interested. But
to answer your question, we do have one script done for a rather conventional Western and a couple of ideas for the next two stories in that one.
Yeah, well, I think we need to do, we've got a piece that had been done live, but it wasn't, we needed to re-record it. And so we figured we may as well make it into the story it deserved, which is called The Sword and the Couch. And the scenario is that rather than the sword and the stone, there's this guy in Minneapolis who knows some kind of odd hippie people who have a couch with a sword in it, and the right person has to come along and pull that sword out, and they end up going to fairyland when they pull the sword out. And so
we recorded it once, but the recording had some serious flaws. So we thought if we're going to do it in the studio as we would like, we're going to have to go back and rewrite the thing.
Well, then we'll write real music for it and find an ending. It's always hard to find an ending.
Fortunately, it's a local cast, so we can pretty much get them together again.
Big thanks to Brian and Jerry there of Great Northern Audio Theatre. So head on over to their website and check out what they're up to over there. Go to the show notes at audiodramaproduction.com for that. That's just about it for us, Robert, for this week. Just a couple of things to mention. At time of recording, the date today is the
14th of April.
14th. Oh, no. My milk is out of date on the 14th. Oh. I know this. For a fact, I checked it the other day and I said that's going to be out of date on Friday morning.
It's a guideline more than a rule.
It'll be out of date by the time this podcast goes out. But we digress.
Do you take no risks with that sort of thing?
It's an exciting life in my house. Thursday the 22nd, at time of recording, that's a week today, you and I are going to be on the UK Podcasters online conference, which is 36 hours long. Mr. Mike Russell of Music Radio Creative and New Media Europe fame, he's hosting the event for 36 hours.
Are you sure it's the 22nd?
22nd of...
Because that would be 8 days from now. That would be next Friday. Is it definitely Friday?
21st. 21st.
It's definitely the Thursday.
And that is... Friday's the 22nd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, I put the wrong date on the Facebook group because I'm an idiot. Thursday the 24th. Nobody picked up on that. That means nobody actually cares about my post. That's not a great shock.
They just like it to give you a bit of moral support. Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, new audio drama. Yeah, yeah, liked it. Haven't
Whatever,
heard it.
So Thursday the 21st then, in that case.
Right.
So we're on talking about audio drama and fiction podcasting. That's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock UK time. So you could tune into that if you want. It's live, it's streaming. You'll get to see our faces, I think, which is, you know, if that's not an incentive, I don't know what is.
Will we be dressed?
Probably, yeah.
I plan to be.
I usually am dressed on a Thursday. A Saturday's a different matter altogether. So UK Podcasters Online Conference, 1 o'clock on the Thursday, the 21st, not the 22nd.
Yeah.
Robert and I talking about audio drama and fiction podcasting with a probably by then delirious Mike Russell, because he won't have had much sleep by that point. So it's a good job he's got a couple of very experienced stalwarts going on there after us.
Maybe we could tell him we've got to sign off, just before the end at 2 o'clock. Listen, Mike, we've got to go. Scotland's actually come under missile attack. You better put the news on and see it, and see if he, you know, if he believes it, because he'll be out of his mind by then after no sleep for a week.
He maybe won't care, though.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. The sweet embrace of the crypt.
One more thing as well. Just wanted to say a big thank you to Eli McElveen for his kind donation on the Patreon page for this podcast and for our other endeavours as well. So that's Eli of Alba Salix Royal Physician, which is a great audio drama, one I love dearly.
Thank you very much, Eli.
And that's really it for this week. I would give the email address again, if I could remember it, podcast.audiodramaproduction.com.
We've changed roles somehow.
Yeah.
You've introduced the podcast this week. You've forgotten the email address.
Yeah, so please get in touch with the show about episode lengths, and not to, to give you too much to remember, but a wee thought I had, we're not too far away from 100 episodes. Certainly on this release schedule, we actually are far away from it. But I was thinking ahead that it'd be really good for people either to send in audio or to write in and tell us what's the best piece of advice or the best tip that you've ever been given in audio drama by someone. Because I'd really like to put all these together in the 100th episode. So something that somebody told you, a tip that they gave you that made your production schedule a lot more streamlined, or it made you, you know, it was a recording technique that you used or a writing technique, just anything, something that you learned and to this day you swear by it and it's really, you feel improved your audio drama. So send that in to us. You could write about it and we'll read it out, or you could send an audio clip of you talking yourself and mention what show it is that you do as well, and that'll be a wee bit of free promotion for you.
Can we give them a prize to the best one?
Yeah, I think we can.
Some sort of light entertainment DVD, maybe a movie. Something we've talked about in the past but haven't done for a good while now.
Home Alone 2.
Well, I was thinking Sister Act 2, but Home Alone 2 is good as well.
Right, I think that'll do us for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks, probably, I would expect, with some sort of topic. And until then, take good care of yourself and enjoy life.
And remember, an owl in a sack troubles no man.